Welcome to the Queen City Preachers podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And we're delighted that you have joined us here. This is looking toward the fourth Sunday in Advent. We're walking pretty quickly to Christmas at this point. It's coming.
Wow, where has Advent gone?
I know.
Yikes, I don't
it's
know.
It's amazing. Yeah, this season always seems to both fly by and go so slowly at the same time. It's amazing the time warp. And in a pandemic, even more so.
Yeah.
So,
where has this year gone? That is the real question of our time.
Yeah.
Well, slow and painful, and I can't remember anything that happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So much, so little. So, yeah, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I guess that's a perfect way to think about this, because today we come to the text of, we're kind of taking a step back. Last week we got Mary's Magnificat, and this week we get to go back to Mary and Elizabeth and birth announcements and kind of this unexpected hope and the challenges and the interest. I mean, this story is kind of great, but in some ways, it goes along with a strange year quite well. Mm-hmm. So
it is a strange story.
It is.
And that's okay to name it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump in then. So we're still in Luke. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, and we're going back to verse 26, and we'll read right up till the Magnificat, verse 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." All right.
So there's a lot there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really just a two-for-one baby story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a powerful story that's, that gives us this glimpse into two lives, into it leans backwards into Samuel and kind of some other prophetic birth narratives, I guess.
Yeah, Abraham and Sarah, right?
And so there's history here, there's presence here, there's the babies recognizing each other here in the womb.
Yeah.
A bit.
Leaping for joy.
There's so much here. And you know, I want to start off by saying that, you know, that This first passage is sometimes known as the Beatles passage, because it's the "Let It Be," Mother Mary. And there's some controversy because, you know, Sir Paul McCartney has said, "Oh, no, 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 this is about my mom, Mary." But a lot of people are like, yeah, but you grew up Catholic and mm-hmm. this is woven into who you are.
It seeps into your soul.
It seeps into your soul. And so I think it's fair to acknowledge that when we think about comfort and let it be so, and some of that language that does come up in that song, it does fit this. And so, you know, if you needed a little Beatles to listen to during this Advent season, you know, have some Let It Be.
Yeah, I just saw today on the news that Ringo was cracking up a new song. So
Ringo.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
80 years old.
The poor soul. I remember him, Mr. Conductor, Shining Time Station, when my younger brother was watching TV growing up.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he had this little TV cameo thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that program.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
Anyway, an aside. But, you know, the Let It Be, right? Whenever I read this, I think, wow, Mary, what like a peaceful and calm reaction to this. You know, I wonder if that is really what it was like.
Yeah. I mean, you really do have to kind of wonder what's going on. I mean, she's chosen. She's confused. She has questions. Mm-hmm. She commits. Like, there's kind of this roller coaster of emotion and experience that Mary undergoes, mm-hmm. but it's very quick. And ultimately the answer is yep.
Yep. Yeah. And there's that reminder at the beginning of this that the angel says that you are a favored one.
Yeah.
And totally. I wonder what that sounded like to Mary. You know, somebody who, I mean, she's a nobody, right? She's a young peasant girl.
Absolutely.
Right. Like you said last week, you know, she's probably like maybe even 12 or 13. Which is kind of dark, but
it's honest.
It's normal of the time, right? She would have been betrothed and ready to get married at that point.
And nobody would be expecting her to have a kid yet, quite, no. Which is part of the part of the mystery here.
Right.
There's also wrapped up in that too is this notion that that it's not Mary's lineage that is pointed out to in any of the Gospels. It's Joseph's house of David. Mm-hmm. So Mary's also from nowhere. I mean, like we're not given a backstory. So in some ways that diminishes her status even further by what is not said, right? That she isn't from that. I mean, cause Jesus comes from this royal line, right? I mean, we get the chronology and genealogy and Mary's not part of that.
Yeah. Which is interesting too, because such an important part of the Gospels is the reinforcement of the things that we hear in Isaiah.
Absolutely.
About the one who is to come will be of the line of David and how important that is. But, you know, it's kind of a stretch, right?
It is a stretch.
Because Jesus is not, you know, Joseph's.
He's not biological. He's not biologically in the line of David. Yes. But he is, I guess, I mean, yeah.
So it's just kind of, we've talked about those unexpected things from God a lot. And it's kind of another one of those unexpected things, right? Like the person who comes, who is the Son of God, who is the one, the Messiah, you know, you name it. We've got all those different titles that we call Jesus, but supposed to be somebody who's like very important, and yet he comes from Mary, who's a nobody, who's not important, who's a young woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something too, that there's a contrast in this passage that is specifically drawn to, that Elizabeth is all these positive things, like a birth for Elizabeth is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. A birth for Mary is not a good thing.
No,
right?
Right.
I mean, and we have these juxtaposed relationships and situations. Mm-hmm. And then in many ways, Elizabeth is in a position of privilege, of power, of where we would expect this to be received really well.
Yeah.
And then we have Mary, who's in this position where it's like, how is this good news? Mm-hmm. Right? Like it's, in some ways, I mean, the good news comes that it's the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. Duh. But like, but at the same time, it's kind of like situationally,
yeah.
How is this good news?
And, you know, I think the obvious thing that Mary carries is the shame, right? The unexpected pregnancy, right? Where people would ask and talk about her and say, oh, like what did she do, right? There's right. the blame kind
yeah.
of narrative.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to note too that Elizabeth is also carrying the shame too of being an old woman who is barren, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Because you can't ignore that of the time, the most important job of a woman was to have children and to carry on the lineage of the husband. And so they both, while Elizabeth is in a more privileged position, right, she's in the right and she hasn't done anything wrong, she still is, I imagine, ashamed of not being able to conceive and have a child. And so they share that in common. But I think what you're saying too with the power structures here, right, when Mary comes to Elizabeth, there's the opportunity for her to be shamed by Elizabeth, right? As Elizabeth is kind of the matriarch, I'm presuming, of the family.
Well, and she's, you know, we hear that Elizabeth is in the line of Aaron, mm-hmm. that she's, I mean, that she's from Jerusalem, that she's in Jerusalem. So she's in the bigger city. She's described as righteous. She's married to a priest. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all the positions are set it up so that she's, yeah, that shame in some ways is kind of, it sets it up for the miraculousness that she, yes. doesn't shame Mary, mm-hmm. that she doesn't turn her away, that she doesn't say, oh, child, yeah. what have you done?
Because what would be the first thing out of our mouths, you know?
Right.
What'd you do? You know, why'd you do that?
Yeah, or what happened, uh-huh. right? I mean, and I think about this, you know, one of the things that, not to get too dark in this, but like thinking about the Me Too world that we live in, mm-hmm. and which has always been with sexual violence, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But thinking about reading into this, like the shaming of the unexpected or what might be perceived of as abuse or violence, in this, that this is not, I mean, we need, like we said last time, acknowledge that, but then move on to the mystery, the wonder, the miracle of this, which I think is really important. But naming it that Elizabeth is also a model of openness and reception in the face of what could have been terrible and rejection.
Yeah.
That she's a model of, I don't know, of believing too, mm-hmm. of believing, you know, and this is also great because in these passages, the men don't speak. Zechariah gets shut up. Joseph doesn't have a voice. Like in Luke, this is great. In Matthew, Joseph is the one that gets to hear everything and all that. But in Luke's like, buddy, it's all about Mary.
Yeah.
And I love that because it kind of puts this situational sisterhood, this relational world of believing, of trusting, of validating one another. Mm-hmm. And they're both women. So they're both already in reality on the margins, even though Elizabeth has all these roles of privilege, mm-hmm. wrapped up, but it's still that they receive one another. It's really powerful.
Yes. And yeah, that whole without doubt thing is in itself even just as miraculous as the angel. And there's a reminder in the text too that ability to believe without doubt also comes with from God, because we get the child leaping in Elizabeth's womb and Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
And so I think that's a good reminder too, that's not us as humans, right? It is in our human nature to, when we hear something like this, to doubt, to ask questions, to shame, to do all of those things. But when we're filled with God's presence, that's not our reaction.
Yeah, and to take it even a step further, mm-hmm. Elizabeth is the only woman in all of Luke who proclaims who Jesus is. Mm. I mean, she says, the words, right, are the mother of my Lord. She uses that term. Mm-hmm.
She's the first to do it.
She's the first to do it, mm-hmm. first. And I think one of the only, to actually name him that way. Like, she doesn't. Like, okay, the other women acknowledge who Jesus is, mm-hmm. but this is her calling him Lord.
Gotcha.
And so I think that's a powerful thing, because it's not just that she believes Mary, mm-hmm. it's then she names it out loud. She says it out loud, mm-hmm. right? That's one thing I think about in this passage too, is sometimes when we believe somebody, but we just let it sit in silence, does that actually affirm the belief? Or do we need to name it with them, mm-hmm. and carry it alongside them? Mm-hmm. And what does that public affirmation mean? Yeah. Because I think that's what Elizabeth is doing here. Mm-hmm. And that's what Luke is doing for Mary here too. And for this, mm-hmm. story is saying, this is big enough. This is real. Mm-hmm. This is Yeah. I don't know. That's where my mind just went with that. So.
Yeah. I think there's something beautiful about that. And I love the connection too of it is the women who first name Jesus and the women who are there last, right?
Absolutely.
At the crucifixion.
Yeah.
At the resurrection.
Totally. Yeah. And in some way, that's a bookend with Luke, right? Mm-hmm. Luke gives us both of those.
Yeah.
Which is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. The men come into play in the middle, and sometimes they're important and sometimes they're silly, but the women are the ones who are the steadfast.
They are. And they're also the ones, I think that this is, you know, it's really interesting because Luke, we think of as the author of Acts as well, which gives us kind of, you know, Acts is where the main treatise on the Holy Spirit comes from for most of us. And just thinking that it's Elizabeth who names the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, that we get the work of the Holy Spirit here mm-hmm. already. And that in Luke, the work of the Spirit is also I think this is one of the things that that is powerful in thinking about God and whether it be God gendered or not gendered, but allowing the Spirit to be seen and witnessed by the feminine rather than just making it about the guys. Because in, you know, we think about the upper room and the descending, most of us, our imagination is only the 12 disciples, mm-hmm. these dudes. Yet who's the first one, according to Luke, to kind of name the work of the Spirit?
Yeah.
A woman. Mm-hmm. So were they there in that upper room? Oh, yeah, they were, yeah. Right? I mean, this is a powerful, we've talked briefly before about Luke being, you know, the one that is the most feminist or empowering of women as a gospel writer. And there are those that say, nah, no, not really. But but I think in some ways what he does do is he allows this story to be held, which then allows other stories to be seen in different lights. Mm-hmm. That by holding up that lens that Elizabeth is seeing the world through mm-hmm. and acknowledging Mary through,
yeah.
Allowing the Holy Spirit there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and naming it for what it is, right? She's a faith leader.
Totally. So. She's almost, she's a prophet. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
she really
she sees
is.
What is she's, to come. She sees what is and what is to come.
Yeah,
right?
She's not named that way, but she is. Mm-hmm. She's a prophet in this mm-hmm. text and in scripture. And so, yeah, that's really powerful that she's the one that is naming this. And thinking about her naming this and acknowledging Mary and thinking about these announcements and what's going on with Elizabeth. Elizabeth has this joy that's going on too, right? I mean, she's mm-hmm. she's also receiving this incredible gift of birth, mm-hmm. right?
When the angel comes, it's not just Mary who gets a baby. Elizabeth does too, right?
Right? It's a twofer. it's great, but I think that one of the things too that is really powerful here too is that it's pretty easy to focus on our own joy and not somebody else's when something is totally ecstatic and unexpected. Mm. And what does Elizabeth do? Mm-hmm. She takes the time to acknowledge Mary's joy, even though it could be stressful, anxiety-producing, crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same for Elizabeth. I mean, my guess is her head is whirling, twirling, this is not... But she acknowledges, she's mm-hmm. she proclaims that joy too, not just her own.
Yeah. And I wonder, it makes me think, I wonder if it goes way back to Abraham and Sarah when they find out that they're going to have a baby as well. And there's this wonderful line about, you know, they're blessed to be a blessing. And I wonder if that is a special gift that women have in biblical literature. Because of their position in society, right, which didn't give them much independence or power on their own, but the gifts that they would give via children, right, mm-hmm. which I'm not saying that that's right, but that's the way it is. And there's always this kind of rhetoric about, you know, they are blessed by God in this situation because the gifts that they are giving because of God are going to be a blessing to the world.
Absolutely.
And so there's this humility, I think, that is understood by them in a very special type of way. And I wonder if that humility gives Elizabeth the ability to celebrate in Mary's joy in a way that those who don't understand the things that they're facing wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I mean, using modern day parlance, the women in scripture have emotional intelligence and the dudes don't. I mean, it's woven into that too, mm-hmm. of an awareness of one another mm-hmm. that also allows for a way to be present with mm-hmm. And empathize, actually sit with in those feelings, right? Mm-hmm. That is really profound. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, I think there's a level of humility there, absolutely, but I think it's also just an ability to be present. Mm-hmm.
And it's community too.
Yeah.
It's that sisterhood that we talked about as well at the beginning, where something that good that happens to Mary is something good for Elizabeth, right? And it's what we talked about last week as well, where the lowly will be lifted up. And that's good for everybody. And I think they realize that in a way that others can't realize that.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, if some of this is, when we think about Old Testament hospitality, and the hospitality was about survival. Mm-hmm. And so it meant that community, even if you didn't like somebody or they were an enemy, you were expected to host them and keep them alive.
Yeah.
There's part of me that wonders if some of that notion of community exists in this, and that's something that maybe is something to acknowledge, especially right now in the pandemic, and so we're apart from one another, mm-hmm. of how do we also hold one another?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that what does that look like for us today? Because I think you're absolutely right, Pastor Molly. I think that notion of community is woven into this, and I think it's woven into the cultural and historical context, but I also think it's woven into the Holy Family with them, which I think also means it's woven into our theology. It's deeply relational, mm-hmm. and communal, and that's powerful.
Yeah. At the heart of this story is our need for one another.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, where absolutely.
Mary couldn't bear this news alone.
Yep.
She needed the wisdom and the guidance and of one like Elizabeth, right?
Yeah, maybe Paul's song lyric should have been, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Elizabeth comes to me." I mean, like, but I think that there's something.
Mother Mary comes to me. Elizabeth is there too.
They're both there. The same time. Thanks be to God.
Sarah might be there.
Right? but this notion that is mm-hmm. that is how we understand mm-hmm. faith in some ways.
Yeah, and that's what we do when someone has a thing, whatever their thing is, right? We come together. We are there to support them and be with them. And at the heart of it, that is our faith, and that's who we are as people of God and a faith community, right? That's not why.
Absolutely.
That's why we don't just go, "Oh yeah, go ahead, just be on your own. You can believe whatever you want. It's cool. Like, God's your buddy and you'll be fine." It's why we need each other as a faith community.
Yeah, it's why, a little rabbit hole with that is it's why when somebody says, "Oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't need church." Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, that's not really how Christianity works.
No.
At least not in my understanding, and it's clearly not that way in Lutheran theology and how we understand God. And I think that that's also exemplified in this story, mm-hmm. right? Is that we do need each other.
Yeah.
And we need each other to hold us in the moments that are potentially dark, broken, tragic, shameful, mm-hmm. but also to proclaim the good and the hope that we need. In some ways, it's why I love on a Sunday morning, like with the affirmation of faith or something like that, that it's when I don't have enough faith, the profession of the community carries me, that it doesn't have to be me alone, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening here with Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth is holding Mary during this. So,
excuse me.
So that's just, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I've thought a lot about the "where two or three are gathered, there I am also."
Yeah.
In pandemic times, because it's hard when you're alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say, "Oh, well, sorry, God's not here because there aren't two or three of you.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, is that true? No.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But this text, too, is a reminder that when we think that we are at our most alone, loneliness, right, that the Holy Spirit shows up and finds ways to bring us together in that two or three. And that it's not just up to us to be a community, but a reminder that we have all these gifts from God that bind us together and bring us into that community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'd add to that that the unspoken piece to this text is that before Mary and Elizabeth come together, they felt awfully alone. And that before the Holy Spirit, before the angel, before any of that connectedness, mm-hmm. there was a feeling of alone. Mm-hmm. And that even today, what are the ways that we connect? That it's not necessarily even the gathering, but where do we allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to enter in? Mm-hmm. Where do we, in a phone call, in a card, feel others help hold us? Mm-hmm. Or where do we do that for others?
Yeah. And where do we take the opportunities to reach out when they're given to us?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, kind of like my sermon last Sunday, where do we sing? Mm-hmm. Can we let ourselves mm-hmm. Do that in this? I mean, that's the passage after this, right? Mary's Magnificat, but, you know, it's quite a road for her to get to the point of Magnificat, yeah. right? It's not a quick, like, oh, I'm fine. I'm going to sing now. It's more a probably, you know, wrestling with and struggling with. And the song probably had many iterations before it reached a level of rejoicing. Mm-hmm.
And there is that verse in the poem that we read at Holden about how when Mary sees Elizabeth's face, that is the moment of joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Which is a beautiful line mm-hmm. and this a beautiful image, right? Mm-hmm. That, and I wonder right now, even over Zoom, mm-hmm. or I'll be honest, even at a grocery store right now, if I'm grocery shopping at an odd hour or whatnot, and I just happen to see a church member mm-hmm. or somebody that I know, even behind masks, mm-hmm. there is joy. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah. That seeing one another, those moments of connection, mm-hmm. it's profound.
It is. And we know, I don't want to take away from the fact that they're hard to find right now, because they are.
Oh, they are hard to find. And I know that, you know, there are folks that can't go to the grocery store or mm-hmm. that don't, I mean, that
aren't getting out at all.
And I respect that. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for everyone caring for one another and also caring for yourselves mm-hmm. with safety.
Yeah. And I think especially as Christmas rolls around next week, it will continue to be hard. But I want us to use this text as a reminder that even in the moment where we feel most alone, where we're carrying something, whether it's good or bad or just this weird, complicated thing, that God gives us opportunities to find the joy in another's face or in another's voice or whatever it might be, or even in just the words of a card. But I want us to find the opportunities where God is setting that before us in the coming weeks. It'll be hard, but we because of our faith, we believe it's there.
Yeah, and I'd even add another layer to that, mm-hmm. which is that allow yourself to say, why can't you also be present to the Holy Spirit and to God in these moments? Mm-hmm. That community comes in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. That sometimes in this story we say, why the heck did, you know, what's going on with Mary? Why Mary? Why Elizabeth? But why not? And why not you? Why not me? Why not all of us? Mm-hmm. That God can come in these moments of isolation, in these moments of loneliness, in these moments and then it can come in so many ways. And so keep your eyes open and your ears open, but especially keep your hearts open,
yep.
right? I mean, that this is, It's that's, human, it's divine, it's both.
And that's one of the most important parts of Advent too, is the waiting and the keeping watch.
Right. Yeah. It starts off that way.
And so those are some of the things that we have to keep watch for.
Absolutely.
In this time, because that is, those are the things that we need the most right now that will sustain us and give us life.
And as Pastor Molly said just a moment ago, they're not easy to see all the time. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It can be hard. Mm-hmm. But during this season, keep watching. Know too, I think that this is one of the beauties of this passage, is that you're also not alone keeping watch. Mm-hmm. Mary and Elizabeth, one of the beauties of this story is that they were both wrestling with things before they even got together. That God was with them before they even came together. Mm-hmm. That this story is about them holding one another, but it's also about God working in our lives and holding all of us. And that even in that waiting and that watching and that wonder, that God is still working. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking toward, with the unknown anticipation and hope.
Yes. So we hope that you can find that in this last week of Advent, and find that on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, and, you know, in the coming new year as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that maybe you'll allow yourself an extra Christmas cookie or some chocolate or whatever it is that grants you comfort or joy, the carols, the pieces of this season that also allow you to watch and to witness the joy, the hope, the connection that we all have, even when we're apart. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, friends, thanks for being with us today for the Queen City Preachers. I'm Pastor Molly.
And I'm Pastor Andrew.